Good evening, Patriots, and welcome to Barnes FM. And yes, this is Scott Kesterson, and you are listening to Winds and Tides. I'm going to change things up a little bit for tonight and the weekend, being that it is Good Friday, and it's an amazing time. And rather than getting so intense with the music, I changed a little pace for us this evening and just kind of chill things out a little bit. I saw somebody on the board already ask where the Spiff Report is. As I've said, Spiff Report is going to be offline for a couple weeks. I've got that, just three shows a day, starting, it'll be officially starting tomorrow with two shows, but all through next week and the next week are going to be just three shows a day, two in the morning, which is the Peace Be Still and Storm Dispatch, and then in the evening, the late night show of Fishers of Men. So Bards FM and Spiff Report are going to be offline for a couple weeks while I get caught up on some stuff and get to work on my book, my first book. So hopefully I can get that done in about 2 weeks since it's already started. So lots ahead. And I need to take some of this time because these shows, doing five a day every day after a while gets taxed up pretty heavily. And it just takes a little time to get caught up, and that will happen, but this is the time to do it. And it is an amazing time to kind of launch it off. So before we begin, happy Good Friday to everybody, and let's do a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've come together on this blessed day to assemble, to reflect deeply on all that has been done and sacrificed for us, to give us life, to return us and restore us to the perfection you intended, and to remind us truly what is important in this life. As we are faced with an unprecedented evil on a global level, we have to always reset ourselves in understanding what is important and why we are here. And on this day, we reflect very deeply on the sacrifice of our King and Savior and all that it took for him to endure that, and what it will take for us to endure the weeks and months ahead to reset this world, our nation, in your name. In God we trust. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So the real thing here is that we've spent a lot of time in the last 5 years pressing forward and hitting hard against the cabal. And in the process, we've been very, very successful. And there's a comparative, really, that can be easily made to the sacrifice of Christ. Because as he walked, did his walk in life, and as he went through and spoke of the ways of men, the ways of God, the ways that things needed to be, teaching through parable and teaching and guiding, but not telling, which is a big thing. People had to discern for themselves. They had to awaken by choice. And people had to make a decision on what path they were going to take. Arguably, if Christ was here right now, he would be doing no different. And I could make a comfortable case by saying that he would not be pleading with people not to inject themselves with a DNA-modifying substance. He wouldn't be pleading with people not to wear a face diaper. But instead, he would be teaching the greater wisdom of walking with God and what it meant to be strong in God and to make that choice on that path. Ultimately, as God has given us, we have been given a choice of free will to choose to return to him and to trust in him. And in this time, especially since Christ has come and been sacrificed, to choose to come through him, through Christ, to return ourselves and restore ourselves to the perfection of the beginning. And in so doing, to have a seat and a way back to God as we needed to, as we have been offered. But those are choices. And it isn't a choice that should be taken lightly. But these are choices. And each of us has that choice. It is not a place for us to plead and beg for people to do not do something. It is up to them to decide what path they want to take. And in this particular time, there is a very clear distinction happening between the people. There are many that are making the choice, a bad choice in my opinion, but it is nonetheless their choice of the only way that they see that they can accomplish freedom, and that is to take an injection. And so making that choice, they're making that choice to step away from God. Now, that doesn't say that they can't come back. That's the big piece that we have to often remember, is that there is only one who can heal them all, and that is God himself. But it's not going to come through the science that we know. And the corruptions that are going to be given to them through this injection are not scriptural. They aren't sanctioned by God. It's a man-made substance being put into people, which ultimately will lead to some nefarious end, because there is no good behind this agenda. I think there's a naivety that believes that there's just an open sense that everything would be healed if Christ was here, and everything would be healed if God was here. The fact is that people are going to have to come to be an address and accept the path that they've taken and take accountability. And I truly believe that. I do not believe in outright giving, because outright giving is welfare. And God has never been about welfare. Christ has never been about welfare. It is about assuming responsibility, and in that sense, and in that place, then greatness is given. So it is a place that everyone is walking together. Whether we like the path that some take or not is not for us to judge. Everybody since President Trump came to power or came to the campaign trail has been exposed to truth. And this is something that we need to embrace very fully. There isn't a person on the face of this earth, and I truly mean what I'm saying, that was not aware of the disruptive force that President Trump represented. It may not have been reflected in the media in a positive light, but there is no question that every single person on this globe was shaken by the force of President Trump. Now consider that for a minute. And why that is so important. Because in this day, now when we look at people making decisions, they are making decisions after having been exposed to 4 years of shaking the perspective and the matrix of truth. Every person on this globe has been challenged to question truth. Every person. And it does not matter what he says in the end, what he advocates for. The point is that what he did was to push people to a place to question the narrative and to question truth. And we have come to a place that when he stepped off the stage in January, he gave us the keys that he had promised from the very beginning, which was the keys to give power back to the people, and he did just that. So now, as we watch the world, people are making a choice based on 4 years of having their world shaken up. 4 years of having their perceptions challenged. 4 years of having their comfort zone ripped from them. And what's interesting to watch is what they migrate to. There is a group of people that have become stronger, more faithful, more committed to God than ever before, and they'll stand with God until this world burns itself to the ground, and they will not waver. But there are many that chose to return to the matrix, return to the comfort of the state, to give them their loyalty, their worship, their servitude, and in so doing, accepting the rules of the state. The rules of the state were saying things like, you're now better than them, meaning us. That in our state, there is no acceptance of God, that there can be no God in the public square. In the place that they accept that genders are flipped by choice. If you choose to be a monkey and identify as a monkey, it's okay. Because in that world, anything is acceptable. Biology is thrown out the door. God's creation is thrown out the door. The discussions of modifying who we are genetically are okay. in the world that they choose to walk into. It is a place now that they choose to be away from God. And it's where they're finding comfort in the promises of getting their own freedoms given back to them, which God gave us all. But they're choosing to accept the tyrant's promise that if they follow the tyrant's rules, that the tyrant will give them back the freedoms that God gave each one of us from our conception. This is the division we now sit at. And we have to really reflect deeply if that division is much different than it was when Christ was sacrificed. How many people turned on Christ at the end to join the crowds to stone and to jeer him on? How many people became Judas? And we see it in our own ranks. How many people have turned their back on President Trump? Not that he is Christ-like by any means, but turned their back on him and the nation the minute that he stepped off stage, playing a game, placating him and the people so long until he stepped away, and then they reached for the prize to try to grab the power for themselves. That's the sort of traitor that exists, the sort of Judas that exists within our government and our people. And it didn't take long. And most of it comes down to some payoff that, in one way or another, trickles down to 30 pieces of silver. A promise of something greater, a promise of some aspect of their life they get to return to, some promise of being able to go to a restaurant without wearing a face diaper, whatever. All you have to do is just take a little pinprick, and all will be well. It's the ultimate in weakness of soul and spirit. It's the ultimate of depravity of relationship with God. And it's sad to see and sad to witness. But I think what we are most encouraged by and empowered by is that in the moment when Christ was betrayed, he didn't shed a tear. He knew it was coming. And so for our own sake, we should have known it was coming. And I mean that boldly. None of us should be surprised. None of us should have ever been surprised to see so many people migrate across the line to take a knee and bow to the tyrants that run this world. It takes strength to have faith. It takes strength to stand up in front of evil. And that strength doesn't come from the sword of steel. It comes from the sword of the Spirit. Walking with God is not an easy walk. It is a fulfilling walk. Walking in faith is not a place where we skip and hop and celebrate all the time. It's a joyous walk in our hearts, knowing that we are free. But freedom is a persistent vigilance that can never be taken for granted. We should be inspired by the apostles. Christ died, having been betrayed by one of his own, nailed to a cross, and in so doing, gave all of us life everlasting, as long as we came and we repented for our sins and accepted him in our life and returned to God through him. But now, let us remember even Apostle Paul, a single man walking with God that never gave in to the pressures and continued to build churches. And over the years that followed, this expansion of the church took over the known world. This is a powerful time to remember the power of one. And I say this to give us all strength and so much hope. At times, it feels like the winds and the tides are about ready to crush us down. At times it feels like the world is bigger than any of us can manage. It feels like everything is against us. And if you listen to the noise, and there's a lot of noise, and a lot of threat, and a lot of attacks at the very core of who we are. There's mockery, there's scoffing at us. It's happening all over. And little by little, once again, the world turns back to what it seems to always do, which is to scoff at that which it fears the most and which it understands the least. So the key piece here is that we stand boldly in a time when we know our story and we know our walk. We know what's ahead of us. We're walking boldly in a place to bring back faith and the love of God in this world, each and every one of us. And in a power and a force unlike anything ever before, God is moving in this world. This is truly a war in the spiritual realm, but we're very much part of it. And we knew this story would come because as happens, as always happens, when a group of people come together and they're trained into believe that they're now better than the others, that sort of deceptive type of programming brings out the worst within the soul. In the coming weeks and months, I suspect it will get worse. That the jeering, the sneering, the snickering, the condemnations for those that boldly stand with God, that choose not to participate in this injection game, will become the target of scoffing of a magnitude we've never seen, of ridicule. They will do everything they can to try to persuade those that refuse to participate in their program. And the greatest question you have to ask is why? Why is it so important for them? People aren't getting more sick. People aren't dying on the streets. The entire game of the pandemic is over. It's been revealed for what it is. So why is it so important for them to press this agenda? Why do they have over 80 new vaccinations in development? Why is this so important to inject people with man-made RNA, messenger RNA that they're creating in labs and not telling anybody what it actually is, only that there's an mRNA packet in each injection? What is it that is their ultimate agenda? That's a question everybody should be asking. The answer will elude us until we see the actual outcome. And the outcome could be as simple as ailments that they get to treat for the rest of these people's lives, guaranteeing the success and financial rewards for the pharmaceutical industry, to things as draconian as sterilization, death, or worse. And by worse, it's the sorts of things that we know can happen, which we know they want to do, which is to sever relationships with God and take away empathy and take away the many things that make us human, because in the end, they see us as nothing more than chattel. But we can't fear that, and there should be no fear of that. If there's fear, that means that you've lost the connection and promises of what God has given. Through Christ, we connect with God, and God has guaranteed us that if we simply live by His laws, to give to those that are in need, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, as we would want to be loved, and to give voice to those that have no voice, in a sense to protect the innocent. As we live by those fundamental rules, we live into a world that's greater and stronger than anything we could imagine. Because all of that is encased in a simple set of words. Fear not. Fear not. And on this day, on this Good Friday, it's worth remembering the strength it took Christ to walk that path. And to not give in. Every person has that strength if you have faith in God. And if you have that strength, then there is nothing out here in this world to be afraid of. Nothing out here to be intimidated by. You simply step away from it and continue to walk the path to live as God intended. And in so doing, heal this world, strengthen this world. And perhaps along the way, give enough light to a few that are sitting there on the fence to bring them back to a path that will ultimately save their soul. But there are many now that are in a darkness. Obviously not as many as they want, because if there were as many as they wanted, they would not be putting on such a full court press to try to convince people to take the injection. The big question is, what's behind that agenda? Why? We have to keep asking the why. Because with the why, we start to lead down the many rabbit holes of the many possibilities of evil that exist. Not to worship it, but to be aware that all that they say comes from a forked tongue. In the end, this is the battle of bloodlines. Those of the descendants of Cain versus those of the descendants of Abel. And that bloodline is continued through Cain through the fallen. And through the fallen, it's been perpetuated and grown to a darkness and an evil, a hatred for what God's creation represents. What a glorious time to live. And it's a glorious time to live because all that was done for us, the gift that was given to us of the sacrifice of God's only Son, is now the one thing we must rely on to bring glory back to this world and to defeat this evil. Nothing can defeat God's power. And as long as we stand without fear and we accept whatever they throw at us, nothing can defeat God's power. It is a beautiful time to be alive. I would frankly say that there's no time in history I know or have ever studied that I would rather be than now. We are watching the old guard slowly collapse, but remember, as things collapse that are so deeply seated, they don't give in easily. They will fight, they will tear, they will gnash. They will do all they can until the very last breath. All we have to do is hold the line. All the gifts needed, all the tools needed are given to us. God is with us. He's never going to forsake us. And the fight is so opposite of what they can comprehend. It's the fight that we stand in helping one another, of loving one another and respecting one another, defying the urges that they want to throw before us to take up that sword of steel. That is not the way forward here. They want nothing more than to see us shred each other to pieces, and they would sit back and laugh and mock us to the very end. And even now, as they use this injection as a tool to divide us, it's something that we have to walk a careful line on. The decisions each person makes in regards to that, like I said, are their own. And as they choose that path, ultimately it is their decision also to return to God. Hopefully they will. If I was writing the script as a story, my ending would go something like this. My ending, not God's ending, but my ending. I would write the story as with so many people having rejected God, the only way forward was to allow the many to accept the offering of deception from evil. And when they awoke to realize what they had done, that they had been trapped into a process by evil, thinking, deceived by evil, thinking that they were going to achieve freedom and life. In fact, they were given enslavement and death. And it was then, and this is how my story would end, it was then that the many fell to their knees and prayed to Christ for healing and forgiveness. And it was then that God reclaimed his kingdom of children. Remember, God can turn anything to his advantage. He can always turn evil to good. So all that said, let us never forget the importance of praying for the many, not just for ourselves. Let us continue to extend our hand of grace, our hand of empathy. But again, it's a choice that each one of us has to make. Every person has an opportunity to choose to walk with Christ or not. Nothing's being forced. It never has been. Only the churches played that game, waging war in the name of the Holy Spirit. That's not the way this is done. We walk a path of peace. We walk a path of love and compassion. And as hard as it is, we hold that line, and in so doing, heal the world in God's name. So on this Good Friday, let us pray for the many. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in which we live. We thank you for the gifts of compassion and the hearts of grace that you've put within each one of us. We're humbled by the sacrifice made for us in sacrificing your only Son to give us life and to forgive us for our sins. Let us now live into that, to be all that that represents. To have compassion for the many, to continue to pray for the healing of all, to unite together, and to find the ways to build the bridges of love and respect for one another, treating our neighbors as we would wish to be treated, helping those in need, being given the opportunities to challenge those places and to do it in a greater way than we ever imagined as you work through us to show us how great love can truly be. Let us stand boldly in your faith and our trust in you to give voice to those that have no voice, to protect the innocent, to let our voices be heard louder than ever before, to protect your children, to protect the unborn, to protect the elderly, to give strength back to this nation on the grounds and foundations of In God We Trust. And in our fight to reclaim this nation, not through the sword of steel, but through the sword of the Spirit and the power of truth. And we say these things on Christ's holy name. Amen. So, Patriots, I wish you a very blessed evening. It's a beautiful time. It's a time to reflect on how much greatness there is in this world, how much greatness there is between us, and how much God has truly given us. It's not a time to fear or fret. This is a time to turn the tide, to make the winds such winds of change, to make a commitment within our hearts that no matter what, we will never give in. We will never relent. We will always press into this fight, and we will always stand with God no matter what is put before us. These are choices that we make consciously. These are choices that we make vocally. These are choices that we make on scripture and in the name of God. That nothing will shake us, knowing that God will never forsake us. And in the end, that we will stand boldly with our King and God himself as he wins. And by the grace of God, we will win. And we will take this country back in his name and in his glory. I'll be back this evening at 9 p.m. for Fishers of Men. It's 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless and out for now.